Hi, I'm Will. Okay, maybe I'm not Will. But this is What's Leaving and What's Left, a podcast about divorce. Why What's Leaving and What's Left? Well, maybe you're leaving and maybe you're left. Which is to say, this is a show about divorce. It isn't a how-to guide. It definitely isn't a substitute for legal representation or therapy. Although we will plead with you, please look into both those things. It might be good to mention here that there's nothing here to be construed as legal or medical advice. What's Leaving and What's Left is real divorce stories of real people. The idea came to me when I realized how many men I knew were going through divorces that would never look for help as they deal with divorce, or that when help was offered, they would never accept it. And yet when they found themselves in a divorce, they wanted to talk to me about it. Interestingly enough, but maybe not surprisingly, their stories, and maybe yours, have a lot in common with each other. And while I can't claim to be an expert on divorce, relationships, psychology, anything, I think finding familiarity and common ground in some of these stories might be soothing and somewhat therapeutic. And maybe, at the very least, we can provide a parasocial group for people having trouble finding, or people having trouble even beginning to look for, help. Good afternoon, good evening. This is Will with What's Leaving and What's Left. We are here on Tax Day recording. What an uplifting day to share uplifting stories of divorce. Perfect timing. And today joining us is my cell phone, which I will mute right now. Also, Chloe. Chloe, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for making time for us today. So, Chloe, tell us a little bit about yourself. Are you presently married? Previously married?
Ooh, I am currently domestic partnered,
Okay.
But previously married.
So progressive of you. So previously married. So you're divorced.
Yes.
Great. We can keep going with the show. This is good news. So, do you have any children, Chloe?
Oh yeah. Too many.
A lot. Okay.
A lot.
We'll just go ahead and say a lot. That works. Chloe, I'm going to dive right in. I would like to start this story right in the middle. The moment at which you had the conversation with your ex, husband or ex-wife?
Ex-husband.
Ex-husband. That I would like a divorce.
Ooh, that's a good one. So, gosh, this is probably a million years ago, it feels like. Basically, I had kind of found somebody I was interested in and was kind of pursuing somewhat of a relationship with her. And I basically was found out and had to address the whole situation with my husband at the time.
So emotions were getting caught up with this new person. And this was a woman.
This was a woman.
Got it. This was a woman. And your husband found out.
Yes.
How many years ago was it? To give some perspective, if it's hard to jog the memory that much.
It's probably happened around 2014 is kind of when the relationship started.
Okay.
And I'd say a couple years later is when we were kind of found out, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to kind of make a decision whether or not I wanted to remain in kind of this double life that I was leading, or if I wanted to kind of come clean and stop living a lie. Mm-hmm. And
so was that kind of I'm asking you to have a conversation about or remember a conversation about asking for a divorce. Maybe you didn't ask for a divorce. Maybe it was more like I'm living a double life. Didn't initially.
Yeah, I did not initially ask for a divorce.
Okay.
'Cause I didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
I, had always been taught that this is what I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I did it. I went along with it.
When you say you were taught this is what you're supposed to do, by whom? Or is this just society? Is it internalized? Like, where would you say a lot of that teaching came from?
I would say it came from religious background.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like American Protestant, Roman Catholic.
Catholic.
Catholic. Okay. So, yeah, obviously there's going to be strong, you get married.
Yep.
To a man.
Yep.
you procreate.
That's right. You have some kids.
Yeah. You were checking all the boxes.
Yeah.
Why were you happy though, Chloe?
Oh, because I knew this isn't what I really wanted.
Mm-hmm. Did you know, this might be a tough conversation to start, but do you think you knew before you were married?
Yes. Mostly. I mean, I'd never tried anything.
Sure.
So
you never made out, kissed,
nope.
Held hands with
nope.
another woman?
No, never.
Okay.
But I always was interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
We did have some conversations before we got married.
Uh-huh.
Where it came up. I found a book that went over how to even do that.
Oh, how to meet girls?
Yeah.
Okay.
How to make out with them. Yeah, there's a book on that.
You could have called me anytime, at any point. No, I'm just kidding.
Sure.
I am so good at kissing girls, Chloe. No, anyway.
Yep.
Not to brag, but also, what is it like? Does it feel good? Are they soft?
Yeah.
Do they have soft skin?
That.
Anyway, sorry. So you found a book. And mm-hmm. then did he find the book that you found?
He did. He found the book and was like, what is this? And I was like, oh, I just borrowed that from the library. I'll return that.
Light reading.
Yeah, of course.
just for the restroom.
Wow, how did that get there? Yep.
Okay. Let's try and scoot up to that conversation. So was it more about having a double life? Can you remember that kind of conversation? Like what was the evolution? You got caught. Catching feelings for this woman.
Yes.
And then were there several conversations? Was there one big one?
There were several little ones, and then there was some therapy involved
mm-hmm.
where we saw a couple different therapists, and one of them was on the religious side of things, so mm-hmm. she was trying to work to keep things together, and I was just there not talking. Because I didn't want to keep doing it.
What do I have to offer if your solution is be less gay?
Yeah, exactly. why are we doing this? And then the next therapist we saw was kind of like, well, what do you want? And I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And that's the biggest conversation we had was basically with her there mediating the conversation and me finally just saying, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a letter, read it to him, and was like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
This isn't going to work.
How was that received?
Not well.
Yeah.
Not well.
So was your husband Catholic? It sounds like you had some religious therapy. You were raised Catholic, et cetera, et cetera.
No.
No?
He's Lutheran.
Okay. So Protestant. But that probably, similar marriage is sacred. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Divorce is not. It is
very,
very bad.
Very much so.
You don't do it. So he, do you feel like he was more mad about losing you or losing the sacredness of this bond that you guys had agreed to kind of thing? Sorry, that might be unfair. If you can speak to his frame of mind, right? Like,
yeah,
I guess you
yeah.
don't know, but what was the vibe in the relationship at that point?
I think it was both.
Yeah.
Really. I know he was also brought up this is what you do, this is how you do it, and he was very much by the book.
Kind of like you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Which is why it pretty much worked out for as long as it did.
How long were you all together?
Ooh, total probably about 11 years.
11 years.
It's 11 to 13 years.
Together.
I can't remember.
And a gaggle of kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just a few.
Okay. So now you had feelings for this other woman. You had made the decision that you were not going to be married anymore. Did you immediately jump into a new relationship after the divorce?
Oh, I was already in this other relationship
okay.
with this woman. Yeah.
Okay. And so it was kind of there waiting
yeah,
for
you. Yeah, it was already there. So I did grieve kind of the relationship that I lost with my ex-husband.
Sure.
Mostly I felt really bad, really, really bad. I know it's not his fault
right.
how how I am or what I was doing. So I felt really bad about that, and I've carried a lot of guilt on that.
Yeah, no, and you know, this show isn't here to say, like, hey, cheating is fun and cool and everybody does it, whatever. You know, it's not. So I appreciate you sharing that, because it's, you know, I would ask, like, did you have any residual? Because that's usually, that usually comes with it, no matter how people try to squash it down. You know, it does come out eventually. How long has it taken you? Are you still wrestling with any of that kind of guilt, shame stuff?
Oh, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Mostly in, like, decisions with the kids. Like,
okay,
I'll be more open to being flexible with things that he wants with that.
Because you fired the first shot, kind of.
Yes, like, oh, we're in this situation because of me.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, do you feel like you're getting walked on in current day, kind of? Because this is important for the listener. Divorce goes on and on. You've been divorced for, you started around 2016. We're in 2024. You've been divorced about 8 years, and you're still having discussions with your ex-husband about this. So, yeah, are you carrying that, you know, are you still getting a little, I don't know, sheepish in your negotiations?
Yeah, even now it's kind of hard. Like, there are things where I'm kind of like, hey, like, can you, I don't know, maybe put these current kids, I mean, these kids that you had with me, maybe a little bit ahead or on the same level as the one you have now.
Mm-hmm. Because he's got a new family as well.
Yeah, he basically kind of started over again.
Okay.
Which I'm happy for him. I'm glad.
But does that, like, from the those two sentences together make it sound like he's mentally started over again and is like, that didn't happen. These kids almost didn't happen, or whatever. Is does it feel like that?
When he has the kids, like, I know he's a good dad.
Mm-hmm.
I know he does. He does really well with them. Mm-hmm. He loves them. So I think he's a great dad, but I think maybe he wants to prioritize one family over a past family. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I see that. I see that not just with you. I see that in my post-marriage life. My ex-wife has started a new family. And yeah, there's a lot of step-parents that become parents. It's all of a sudden the step-parent role becomes the stereotypical step-parent role, whereas previously maybe it wasn't. Does that make sense? So I am a step-parent. I don't have any children of my own. I am doing great. This is fine. This is easy. You do most of the disciplinary things and caretaking and responsibilities. But then we have a new child. We have our own little nuclear family that is, you know, entirely composed of my partner and this child. And now we have second class children. A little bit of that. You're nodding.
Yes.
It's 100%.
Yeah. Like, I'm just going to nod real big. Yes.
Yeah,
yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. And no, you're not alone in that. And that's, I think that's tough. It's hard for me to judge the step parent because they're both first time parents and first time step parents, a lot of them.
Yes.
You know, and so this is all brand new to them. Okay. So you got divorced. Was it amicable? Did you litigate? Did you mediate?
Ooh, we saw a mediator
mm-hmm.
a few times. And I feel like we did that pretty well. That there was no fighting. I mean, there was crying. It was sad.
Yeah.
But we didn't fight over anything. Splitting up the, you know, material things wasn't that hard.
Okay.
And
you both were career people, so there wasn't a lot of squabbling about finances or anything like that?
There is a huge disparity in the amount of money that we make.
Which way does that go?
I'm the breadwinner.
Okay.
So that made it a little bit hard, but we did go 50-50 with the kids, which meant that I had to pay child support.
Sure.
But he said, I won't do any alimony.
Okay.
And I won't take your retirement.
Nice.
So that was nice.
Okay. That's usually, for the listener, I will say we're in the state of California, and retirement is a real ball of wax to untangle with regard to divorce. It is IRAs and 401k school. If you got a pension, really think about how you can negotiate to get the pension out of negotiations. Somebody just takes all of it. It's so ugly and gross. You don't have a pension by any chance, do you?
I do.
Well, there you go. So you had to do a quadro.
I don't know.
Maybe the lawyers didn't entangle you in all this. And it's,
no.
You're lucky.
Yeah.
It costs fucking $3,500 to knock on the door of a quadro, and there's like 7 attorneys that do them in the entire state. Anyway, yeah. That's a little fun.
There's
a little advertisement for quadro attorneys in California. Okay. So you were able to settle on support and custody pretty well. And then did you end up like just moving straight in with your new partner?
She basically, the month after he moved out, she moved in.
Oh, wow.
We U-hauled that.
To keep it very stereotypical and cliche.
Yes. That did happen.
We love to hear it. Okay. And how was that? Was that like you were like, hell yeah, this is the life I'm supposed to be living kind of thing?
It wasn't all rainbows and sunshine.
Okay.
She wasn't and still kind of isn't totally out about her sexuality.
Oh, okay.
So
but you all live together?
Yeah, but we live together.
Okay. Okay.
And that took a while, like just with
I can't judge. It's just it's not that I'm like, why the fuck aren't you out? It's more like, how the fuck are you not out? You live with another woman, and
yeah, we're just amazing roommates with
that
kids.
That love softball.
Yeah, and love softball.
Oh God. Anyway, okay, so she's still not out to some people. So did that create is that creating tension, or did that create tension?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
that's created tons of tension. But she did work on it, and she came out last year, basically, to most people. She came out to her family like earlier than that.
Okay.
Because they all basically found out while I was still married to my ex-husband.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm.
No, it's okay. That's the end of your answer.
That's
where it ties up. Okay, so amicable. Has it gotten rocky with like child custody since the divorce? Has anything kind of come up that, or financially? Because like I said, it's been 8 years or 11 years. You were married 11 years. It's been 8 years since the divorce. Has, you know, there been additional court hearings? Have there been new motions?
So the biggest thing that happened would be he recently moved to a different state.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing that is kind of put a physical distance between the kids and himself.
Yeah.
Which means that his time with the kids has drastically gone down. So we had to go kind of figure out what that looks like financially.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's kind of a lot with a couple of the kids being on the autism spectrum.
Okay.
And they require
special
therapies.
Classes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's really expensive. Mm-hmm. So basically.
Sorry, not to totally cut you off. In the state of California, if you go to a different county, that's abandonment, and then child support is supposed to triple in the direction of the person that is left the county. Did that come up as an issue in the hearings, or am I totally off base with this?
No. So what happened was he went out and found his own, quote, mediator.
Okay.
And
quote mediator.
Quote. I didn't have any say in who he's talking to, so I kind of see it more as his own lawyer.
Okay.
And he asked him to draw up some plans for mediation, with him leaving the state, and he drew up some plans and basically he's moving to another state. And these are just facts.
Thank you for stating that. No, sometimes like it's gonna feel like I'm talking shit, but this is what happened.
Yeah, this is just what's happening. Yeah. And decided when he's moving to a different state that he's not going to work.
Well,
yeah.
You can just do that too. That's so frustrating. Is that like if you are the one collecting child support or alimony, you can just be like, "Well, yeah, I don't feel like working."
Yes.
And now you owe more.
Yep.
Okay. So that even if he's out of state,
mm-hmm.
the California state law is what applies for that, and so he can just be like, "I don't feel like it."
Yeah.
Okay. So are you paying more than you were before?
No, I told him if he is going to do that, and we're not going to go to court because he was trying to get out in a hurry,
mm-hmm.
like in a couple months, which was completely crazy to me.
Okay.
That.
Why the rush? I mean, I don't know. Have you speak to his state of mind anymore? But I'm just like, what? Chill. Anyway.
Yeah, I think that his current wife got a job out there.
Okay.
And they wanted to move out there quickly because of that.
Okay. Fair.
So I told him if he's going to do this, that we're going to use his current wages and calculate what it would be that he would owe me in child support,
mm-hmm.
if had he still been here and have the same custody that he has now.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what we used, and it came out to not a lot at all. And it's actually pretty laughable. But then I...
What he would owe you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It basically put me at a huge financial disadvantage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But at the end of all of it, you aren't paying any more.
No.
You kind of like, were like, look, this is about break even if we were to calculate things based on if you were to be here in this state and continue working your job that doesn't pay as much as mine. So let's call it square. And
yeah.
And then he just moved away. And how often does he see your all's kids?
He sees them 1 weekend a month.
1 weekend a month. Okay.
So like alternating, like 1 weekend he'll stay in California with mm-hmm. them. And then the next weekend in the next month, he'll take them back to his.
To Arizona. Okay.
Yeah.
How have the kids been dealing with this?
One of them was mad at him.
Mm-hmm.
Another one didn't really care. But the two that can speak to what they want said that they both wanted to stay with me anyway.
Based on the autism.
Yeah, yeah. The third one, he's so far on the spectrum that he...
Oh, nonverbal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Well, how did you present this information to the kids? Because this is... I imagine listeners are going to be running into this a lot.
I didn't present this information to the kids.
Oh.
Him and his wife came over one day and had a conversation with me and my partner,
mm-hmm.
and said that they were thinking about moving out of state, and we were like, what? Yeah, I thought you weren't going to do this for a few more years. Wait till the kids hit a good point in their education. And they said, well, it probably wouldn't be, you know, till the fall, maybe. Like, they had scooted it up. And then later on, I got a text saying that they told the kids already, and that one of them freaked out, and the other one said that they wanted to stay here, and that I get to keep the kids. He's not going to fight me.
Okay. How'd you feel about that?
I was livid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not acceptable. Like you,
it's not.
Kids shouldn't be brought into the picture. As much as the kids are what you're discussing in a custody dispute, they are not involved in the dispute. They are not involved in the discussion. Right? You know, and they can't handle it.
They're not old enough to even make the decision at this point where they would go. I don't understand why he asked them.
And it's an unfair question
to
ask. I think about that a lot. Like, custody issues come up in my mind a lot, and sometimes, or just something will feel off, and I'll be like, well, would you want to spend more time with that? And I guess what? I don't fucking say that to them. You don't do it because they don't get a say. No. So it's unfair. And you don't know where things are going to go and how it's all going to pan out. There's so many layers as to why it's unfair. And they just can't process this shit. They're not old enough to, like, be asked to make that kind of decision. That's infuriating. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it really sucked. And I think the thing I've felt most bad about with them is it was a couple days before their little graduation ceremony.
Oh, Christ.
For the end of the year. And I was like, now you're going to stress them out with this? Like, you couldn't wait till it was over?
It could
over.
Have been a big,
like,
celebration. Yeah. And everybody was not dealing with this, you know, or at least you and he were dealing with this.
Right.
But the kids could, like, you know, be blissfully unaware for like a second. So he ended up moving. And mm-hmm. now the kids are with you except for the one weekend per month. Is there any additional time over summer?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So basically over the summer, he gets each kid for 4 weeks or a month. It took me like 18 hours to do the schedule for the kids for the summer.
Oh, wow.
Which I was totally fine doing it myself because then I can kind of dictate, you know, it's this weekend you have this kid or this week you have this child. But I split them up a little bit just to give the kids a break from each other too.
Yeah, that's
nice.
They're
up in each other's business all the time. Mm-hmm. Maybe they want some one-on-one time.
Yeah, especially if dad doesn't see them very much. Like, get some specific. Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Yeah. Plus, I had to factor in extended school year stuff, summer school for one, and then camps for another, and you know, therapy for another child. So,
And therapy for yourself.
Oh yeah.
Okay. How's that coming? Like, was that like a, did you jump into it right after you were divorced, or is it something like you realize the power of it? Cause you know, everybody kind of gets into it. Everybody kind of has a counseling moment towards the end of their marriage. But you know, do they stick with it or does it take time to kind of get back into it?
Yeah, the therapy, I didn't start going to anybody until actually recently. With my ex-husband leaving, it kind of put a big strain on my current relationship. So me and my partner...
Because you're like 100% custody now?
Yeah, with the kids, with the special needs, mm-hmm. Nonstop. And she has a child of her own.
Yeah.
So... there's a bunch of children in this house.
Yeah.
And it was just, it's a lot. It's a lot in the morning. It's a lot in the afternoon. And that put a huge strain. We were actually supposed to get married next weekend.
No shit.
And we called off the wedding.
Oh.
Because it was just too much stress. There was too much going on.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's a lot. Really sorry.
Yeah,
so therapy's
so therapy
much needed.
Yeah, so with all that happening, we decided, we're going to go to therapy both separately and together and figure out if this is something we really want to do.
Yeah. What other coping mechanisms have you developed, either healthy or unhealthy? You can feel free to share your newfound alcoholism, your love of pills, risky sex, whatever it is.
No, there's no risky sex.
I know, you've been dating the same woman
yet.
The whole time. Yeah.
No, just kidding. No, I mean, I was drinking quite a bit more, which is hence put on a few pounds here that I would like to get rid of. But really, I've thrown myself in my free time. The very little free time that I have, I throw myself into softball.
Nice.
And just playing.
It's something you grew up with, or?
No, I like barely made the team in high school.
Oh.
Didn't even play before.
And now
I'm just like, yep, I should have played my whole life.
I'm dope at this. I love this shit.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, you had to reschedule on me because of some softball games you had going on this weekend.
Absolutely.
Damn. Hardcore.
Yep.
That's good. And those kind of keep you from losing it, from riding off the rails, or like, were you doing any of that while you were married?
While I was married, I played a lot of video games.
Oh, okay.
We had like a decade where we did nothing but play World of Warcraft.
Oh, the lost decade that I think many World of Warcraft players can identify with.
Yes. Yeah. That was the thing to do.
Yeah. No, I never touched the stuff myself.
Yeah, don't do it.
It's dangerous. Okay. Let's take a little break and we'll be right back with Chloe. Okay, we're back with Chloe. Chloe, I'm glad we took that little break because there's a element of your story. There's a religious element of your story. You were raised Catholic.
Yep.
Did you go to public school or Catholic school?
Ooh, I started out in public school,
mm-hmm.
and I ended up going to CCD.
Which
I don't remember what it stands
it's
for.
It's like Catholic catechism.
Yeah, catechism. Something. Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
So I went there like from maybe it was before second grade, but it was definitely second grade time.
Mm-hmm.
My grandpa was an usher at a Catholic church. So we ended up at church every Sunday.
All right.
And then eventually I got into a Catholic, school for third grade,
mm-hmm.
and all the way through high school, Catholic school.
It's 9 years.
Yeah.
Doing the math.
Oh yeah. Yes.
Did you attend a Catholic university or anything?
I did not. I went to the JC.
Okay, cool.
I was broke and my parents were not going to help me.
That's fine. That's fine. Yeah. So, now you mentioned your ex-husband was Protestant. Are you still a practicing Catholic or have you perfected it?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Absolutely
no.
not. So
no.
when did you feel like you started to kind of split with the church?
Ooh.
I have an idea. I have a hunch.
Yes, but, it was probably right around 2014. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
when I was just like, I can't do this anymore.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. did you get negative feedback from the people in your churches? Your husband, how did he react to you being gay?
Ooh, he thought it was something that we could fix.
Mm. Like that we could pray away, perhaps?
Yeah, pray away, or you know, maybe I go talk to the pastor over lunch a few times and iron out whatever it is that is in my brain.
Truly ailing you.
Yeah.
Got yeah. it. Like, when that didn't provide any solutions, like, did he accept that you are a gay woman?
I don't think he really accepts that. I'm not sure if he does or not.
I want to ask a tough question, but important. Do you think that comes out around your kids?
Ooh, that's a good question too. I am not sure because I'm never really around them when he is.
Mm-hmm.
They do go to church with him when he has them, which some of my worries are that they're being exposed to maybe anti-gay teachings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which I understand religions can have, you know, their own ideas of what is right and wrong, but if we're supposed to not be talking ill of the other parent, I think that comes into play.
That's where I'm kind of concerned, is if he doesn't believe you're gay, does that rub off on your children? Does it come out in conversations in any way? Yeah.
I've had some conversations with my son,
mm-hmm.
and he has... You know, I don't know if he's getting it from his dad's side or from church or if he's getting it from the internet or whatnot, but he has made quite a few comments before about gay being bad and I've had to ask him, you know, if it's so like, is your mom bad? You know?
Yeah, yeah. that's what's puzzling when you say that. I'm like, hi, I'm right here. You're having this conversation
yeah.
with me. Is there anything else you'd like to share real quick?
I've had to say a few times, do you know who you're talking to right now?
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I think, in my experience, like, churches, very few churches, or specific churches, rather, will get up and say, gay, bad, don't be gay. Whereas most other churches, it is hinted at publicly in the context of a service, but then talked about constantly in your Bible studies, your youth groups, your so on and so forth. So it's not that, you know, they pick them up because the pastor gets up there and says, don't be queer. It's because everybody goes around afterwards and is like, gay, dumb, you know, constantly. That's where I think he might pick it up, if anything.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the same way that I picked it up
right.
when I was going to school.
Right,
I mean, they didn't come out and say, like, oh, the gays are bad. They just went, like, and you shall only be with somebody of the opposite sex.
Yeah.
Because anything else is not right.
Yeah. So with that, like, with your upbringing, with your kids being raised in church somewhat, with your ex-husband being involved in the church, I'm not trying to shit on the church experience, but I would like to kind of interrogate, like, your processing of your religious experience through this. Like, are there any things you're kind of unpacking and kind of looking at in a new way since your divorce or since coming out that you're like, hey, this kind of fucked me up?
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of those ideas, those teachings, made me way less vocal. I don't tend to speak up a lot, and I think a lot of it comes from that.
So
sure.
You just kind of like, well, what do you think about religion made you want to be less vocal? Is it because you're a woman?
Yeah, well, there's all that. That's always underlying a
sure,
little bit.
Yeah. A little hint of misogyny under it all.
Yeah, but I mean, if I ever speak out, you know, eventually, if they find out that I'm gay, then, you know,
okay.
all everything that I've said
oh,
is
right.
going to automatically be written off.
Right.
You know, I went through a period of time, this doesn't really have to do with the religion part, where I didn't even want to hug people because I was afraid that they would be able to figure it out. So
that's wild.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Do you think religion is a big reason you stayed in the closet as long as you did?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah,
that is the biggest reason.
Okay. So hence non-practicing Catholic anymore.
Yeah.
Do you ever talk about these things like with your therapist ever, or do they have thoughts?
Yeah, actually, that came up maybe like last week or so where I was talking about just going to Catholic high school, and she actually went to one as well, and I'm pretty sure she has a wife, and it was
that's helpful.
It was very helpful to hear it from somebody else as well, but she totally validated like how hard it is when these are the things that you're being taught, like even on a level where it's not directly being spoken about.
Right, where it's not always the topic of the sermon,
right?
But everybody around you is kind of winking at each other like, we know this is all about kind of keeping the gaze down, right?
Yeah.
You know,
like, very much. Yes.
Yeah, it's that's really rough. I'm always curious about this because in my own life and in my religious experience, being very active in my church from a young age through a very old age, purity culture, did that ever resonate with you, or was it like a non-issue because you're like, well, I like girls, so this isn't really a problem for me, or you know, like I'm not worried about sex because I'm afraid to hug people.
Yeah, you know? I mean, that was kind of one of the big things when I got together with my ex-husband is we didn't have sex at like, well, you know, the the traditional, we didn't have any sex at all for
sure, sure.
3 years.
Right. Of dating.
Yeah, it was just all dating. And I feel like if I had done that earlier, if I had, you know, test drove that car, I would have known, oh, wait, there's something really
this
off
for
here.
Me.
You know, and I didn't do anything on either side. I didn't experiment with a woman, and I didn't do anything with men. And so...
You had a gold star from both teams. Everybody just,
yep.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I, I, I look at purity culture. I have a lot to say about purity culture. I just was curious about your take on it. I was about to ramble, and I'm like, it's not that kind of podcast. We're talking about your marriage, and it's end. Chloe, what have you done in addition to therapy to make sure that you aren't? I mean, there's some very obvious things. This is a question I like to ask, though. What are some things that you're doing to make sure you don't repeat the mistakes of your marriage, of your previous relationship?
Ooh, well, number one, I'm not dating any men. That's for sure.
Let's check that box.
Yeah, so yeah. So that one's gone. As far as making sure I don't end up in a relationship where it's not going to work out,
there's no way to know that part.
Yeah.
But just like the mistake. So let's say, if you were to, let's say that the cheating, and getting caught with the cheating and everything, that's a mistake. So it's, the guilt and the shame you feel from that. How do you avoid that? How do you kind of, and anything else along those lines, I guess, not per se about the cheating, but those kind of mistakes.
I refuse to cheat again.
Yeah.
That was so terrible. Mm-hmm. I feel terrible about it. Also, I don't want to deal with leading a double life anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I would not want to do that. It's so much easier to remember what actually happens and to be able to repeat those events than it is to hide things.
Yeah.
So that's probably the biggest thing, is just I would not cheat again.
Yeah. Good. We're actually wrapping up way faster than I anticipated. Do you have any final thoughts for listeners who might be going through a similar situation as you?
Ooh. I would say, if you're the one that's, if it's something similar to my situation, try to be honest with yourself. Try not to drag things out. Have those conversations early so that you're not creating a lot of heartache with yourself or with your partner. I mean, they kind of deserve to have the truth. Mm-hmm. You did make a promise to that. And yeah, sometimes it doesn't work out, but just be honest with yourself and with your partner. Also,
no, you got something cooking.
I do.
I can tell.
If you're the one that's being left because of this situation, mm-hmm. No, it's not your fault.
Okay.
Don't put it on yourself. Don't think you did something. Like, listen to the other person. They're gonna let you know, hey, it really is me. It really is not working because of this.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is a profound point about your particular divorce, is it seems like the kind of divorce, there's nothing to talk about. There's nothing to argue about here, right? I like women. You are not women. That should be it. But if you get pushback, it's kind of like, hey man, it's not anything you did,
Yeah.
There's no reason to take that poorly. And I think that's why I think I have, I know I have a lot of sympathy for you stepping out, because it was just, it's the relationship you wanted. It is a completely different situation, and you had never had that. And so I'm sympathetic to that. And I'm glad you're able to be out. Does it feel good to be out?
Oh, it feels fantastic to be out.
No regrets. I'm glad to hear it. Chloe, thank you so much for joining me today. It has been a fantastic conversation. I am Will, and this has been What's Leaving and What's Left. Good day.
What's Leaving and What's Left is written, produced, and hosted by William. Nothing the host or guests say should be construed as legal or psychiatric advice, so please, lawyer up and get therapy. Thank you so much for listening. Please continue to listen, like, subscribe, and share with a friend you believe may benefit from this story.